And hello, hello on this Monday, June 9. That's the ninth day of June 2025 in the year of our Lord. And I want to welcome everyone to this program, The Hagmann Report. I'm Doug Hagmann. Thanks for joining me. Thanks so much for joining me on chat as well in the Rumble chat as well as on X. I appreciate all of you who are joining me live. I have a lot to get into. We do have, of course, on tap, scheduled, and waiting to connect, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. I'll tell you what, man, she's traveling, so we're going to, I messed up last week in a big way. So having said that, okay, Dr. Tenpenny, we rescheduled, and of course, I understand she's traveling, so you know how planes are and travel arrangements. What a hassle. What a hassle. And that's a hassle she doesn't really have to take or have to, she really does not have to endure. So when I say that Dr. Tenpenny is a hero of mine, I mean that because she is a mover, she's a shaker, best reflected, I suppose, by her social media presence and her name, which is at Busy, B-U-S-Y, Dr. T. That's D-R. T, Busy Dr. T, Busy DRT, as opposed to Mr. T, which, of course, he pities the fool. Those of us old enough to remember that. I pity the fool, any fool who wants to go against Dr. Tenpenny. And she's actually now joining us now. So I want to point out her website, which everything is going to be linked at Hagmann PI in the program notes. And, there you can go everywhere and certainly take advantage of everything that she's got to offer, including and especially. Now, folks who have been listening the past couple of weeks, you know I am absolutely, you know, I love to read books. I just love to read books. Better, I love to read good books, books that inform, enlighten, and help me live my life. One of the best books I've read in a long, long time is Dr. Tenpenny's book, Zero Accountability in a Failed System, How Big Pharma Weaponizes Vaccines, Public Health, and the Law. Now, you may think, well, I don't need a book to tell me that. Oh, ho, 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 just wait. Yeah, you haven't. I thought I knew a lot. Well, I didn't know the half of it. I read this book. I laughed. I cried. I rended my garments. I kicked the file cabinet. I hugged my wife. I planted a wet one on my dog. I'm telling you, man, I went through the gamut of emotions when I read this book. Let me just tell you this. Dr. McCullough was one of numerous forewords accolades, giving accolades to this book. I thought this best represented what I read. I read the book and then went back and looked at the various accolades. Dr. Tenpenny is one of the few doctors who grew up with the advantage of being completely unvaccinated. Because of the wisdom of her father, she became a physician who questioned why each year children were impaled with more and more shots. Now, I could go on, okay? Which gives praise to her book. But let me stop right there, because right now what we're looking at, this current schedule, or at least as of last month, 72 doses of 17 vaccines between birth and age 18. Can you even fathom that? I saw the words, and it took me a minute to let them soak in. 72 doses, 17 different vaccines over an 18-year period. The first 18 years of a little one's life. 29 doses of 9 vaccines just to attend kindergarten. And that includes, you know, fighting off STDs. Now, if you're living in that realm, you got a problem. I'm telling you, daycare children get multiple doses of 13 vaccines. This is what we're dealing with. So having said that, I want to introduce, and I want to thank, first of all, both Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. Again, I have great admiration for her. I've read, I think, pretty much maybe all but one of her current books. They include Fowl, F-O-W-L, Bird Flu, It's Not What You Think, Saying No to Vaccines, A Resource Guide for All Ages, Challenging the Vaccination Dogma, The MMR Vaccine, The Loss of Future Generations Over Unrealistic Fear of the Measles, 40 Mechanisms of Injury, Medical Essentials for Emergencies, The Truth About Colonoscopies. Folks, these are all books that you need to really read, understand, and appreciate. And above all, please support Dr. Tenpenny. I want to thank her, and I also want to thank her, just a fantastic young lady, Michelle. Thank you so much. And Dr. Tenpenny, thank you so much. And I apologize again for the screw up of schedule last week. And I'm so glad you're with me now. So let's rock, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me, Doug. And not to worry, you know, it was just I could go to bed earlier because I didn't have to stay on your late night show. So it's not a problem at all to reschedule for tonight. Thank you for having me on, and I appreciate the accolades. They're just very kind of you.
Well, I mean every word of it. You've done such a great job. When I read this book, it really enlightened. Yeah, I thought I knew a lot, but I didn't know the half of it. So, let me just say this, please. If you're listening to this for the first time, please get yourself a copy of the book. Go to Amazon. And later this week, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to gift 5 subscriptions to our listeners because it's that important, I believe. This book is that important. So stay tuned later in the week for that. But Dr. Tenpenny, please. This book is... It's for me to describe. I'm not going to take time out to describe it. Just tell me where you would like to start, because there is so much to unpack with this.
Well, I think that I would start by saying that, Dr. Suzanne Humphreys wrote the foreword, and Suzanne and I, you know, are probably the two vaccine queens out here. And we spend all of our time, the only time we're not reading about, researching about, talking about, writing about vaccines and problems associated with vaccines is when we're asleep. And so when I asked Suzanne to write the foreword, she's like, well, okay. And then she read the book and she said the same thing you said, Doug. She said, I thought I knew this material and I knew a lot of it, but I didn't know it the way you put it together, and that you dug out a whole bunch of other things that I would have never thought to have gone down those rabbit holes. And it reads like a suspense thriller. You know, it's an interesting read. It's not just fact after fact after fact. And I kind of try to weave together is the bird flu. I wrote the bird flu book, Fowl, that you mentioned. It's no longer in print. I wrote that in 2005, and I wrote it in real time when bird flu under the Bush administration was happening in real time. And so when the bird flu came around in the summer of 23, my staff somehow found an old copy of that book, and they said, this is really good. Why don't we just give it a different name and re-release it? And I started to thumb through it, and I thought, you know, there's been a lot of things that have happened in the last 20 years. I need to expound upon it, expand upon it. And the 25 years of work that I put into it has sort of been poured into this book. So it took about a little over a year to write, but it's really 25 years worth of material boiled down into a way that's digestible and it makes it interesting and people want to read it. So I weave in, you know, the old bird flu, the new bird flu, the COVID vaccine, and all the politics that happened then and what happened 20 years ago, the political things that happened back in 2005, rolled forward and were used during COVID. So I tell that whole story in a way that unless you lived it, you just wouldn't recognize it. You didn't know it.
Amen to that. And you're right about something. You nailed this, because when I began reading this, I was ready to read like a somewhat dry statistical expose on vaccines and just the failures of our healthcare system. But the way you constructed this is really a work of art, and it kept my attention as an investigator. I love the making a case and exposing the perpetrators and the crimes and such, and boy, this does just that. And it's an easy read. Now, the information is not simple, but it is easy to digest, understand, and come away after you get done with, hey, you know, now I get this now. So I really appreciate that. You even address the question of scientific field of virology or the no virus theory. You get into H5N1, what you need to know. You know, it's you go through so much. Perspective, retrospective of past pandemics from the Spanish flu onward. So, where should we start here in our discussion? Because again, I really want people to understand this is a must read, especially if they have grandchildren, children, or even for their own benefit. So you tell me where we should start a discussion.
Well, you know, the book starts with, you know, an expose of the comparing the past to the present, and it just sort of gains momentum as it goes along with all the different things in there. And there are things in the book that I talk about that most of us in the health, all the wide spectrum of health freedom people really don't talk about. And it's the weaponization of our healthcare system that started with Medicare and then included the electronic medical records. And I weave that together of how that happened. And then there's, the tracking surveillance and how the global vaccine agenda applies to all of us. And then the 40-year march to 2030, I really take a deep dive into the Healthy People Program that started in 1980. And the Healthy People Program that started in 1980, the Surgeon General at the time said, well, what kind of 10-year goals can we set that would, you know, we could target, that would be measurable, that we could see that Americans are getting healthy? And they were really pretty simple goals. They were things like exercise more, get more sleep, stop smoking, wear a seatbelt, wear a helmet when you're out on a motorcycle, things like that, and looked at like infant mortality rates. And then each decade, they made it more extensive and added more things to where the most recent one, the Healthy People 2020, that we're involved in now, to go from 2020 to 2030, involves 42 different parameters and 1,200 objectives of measurable objectives. And I always think about it, that's where the camel is sticking his nose under the tent of every area of your life. And that's where these questions come in, where the parents, you know, the doctor wants to see the teenagers by themselves without the parents in the room. And they want to ask, do you feel safe? Do you have guns in the room? Has anybody tried to harm you? And then the social determinants of health, you know, your economic status, all the different things that involve social determinants. Do you go to school? Do you walk to school? How do you feel about transgenderism? How do you feel about different colored people's skin? And all of these areas that's just collected data, because data today is the new gold. And I do a lot of detail into that because, you know, it was the one area that we don't really mention or think about in health freedom on our movement, but it is so important to health freedom in general. And to understand, I'm a big believer in understanding where we came from, because if we don't understand the history, we don't know how we got here. And you really do. If you don't learn the lessons of history, you're going to do it over again. And then the very next chapter, the sacrifice for the greater good. When I pull forward that chapter, which started in 2005, and I really lay out in great detail, I even pulled the information out of the congressional record, how the PrEP Act actually got made, put into motion. And PrEP Act has kind of been up in our vernacular and we've heard a lot more about it, but people don't understand what happened of how that got turned into law, which it never should have been law, because nobody in Congress ever read it, ever. It got tacked on as an addendum on the tail end of a defense appropriation bill at 11:30 at night, when everybody in the defense appropriation committee had already gone home for Christmas. And so nobody ever read it. And so I lay that whole thing out and then show how the from inside of the PREP Act, how they used that inside of COVID. And inside of the PREP Act, it actually has provisions to say that if people get harmed by one of these covered countermeasures, and a covered countermeasure is anything that has been deemed usable during a pandemic, which could be a Band-Aid, it could be you know, Vaseline, it could be anything, including those nasal swabs and the remdesivir and all those different things, and all of the COVID jabs. If anybody is harmed, is there no compensation for it, the statute of limitations for even filing for a claim is less than a year. And at this point in time, as of the last time I looked, which was probably a couple of weeks ago, there were 1,600,000 injury reports filed in VAERS, and that is the wrong agency to file an injury claim with, because that is not the department inside the government that adjudicates covered countermeasure claims. There is an organization inside there called the CICP, the Covered Countermeasure Injury Compensation Program, that I didn't know much about, and neither did Suzanne. And we were shaking our heads going, if we, who spend all of our time on this, didn't know much about it, it's no wonder that the general public knew nothing about it. And they've only had about 13,000 claims filed over there. And as of about 3 weeks ago, they've only adjudicated 40. And of those 40 people, two got sizable compensations. So if you throw those two out as outliers and average together the other 38 people that got claims, the average claim is about $4,000.
Oh, my.
For their severe injuries, their lifetimes of injuries, there's no death benefits been paid. And the PREP Act from 2005 actually prohibits Congress from funding it and from creating a table and putting it the way that it you know, has to have a tax attached to it, so that these people can get compensated for taking one for the team, that they've been destroyed for their whole life and millions of people have died. And that is, you know, I go into great detail about that in the book.
That was something that I had a question about. That is there any way? So you've got roughly 1.6 million adverse reactions filed with VAERS. Is there no way to migrate that 1.6 million into the CICP, which is currently at 13,000? Is there, or do those people who filed, or the filings from at VAERS, do they need to be refiled with the CICP?
Unfortunately, no, because the CICP has not created an injury table. So right now, all of the injuries are what they call off the table. There are none of the injuries, including myocarditis, pericarditis, the neurological injuries, the brain injuries, the renal failure, all that stuff has to be on a table that you can file and say, I've got that injury, so therefore I qualify for a claim. Since there's no table, it's all off the table. And as far as the government is concerned, every one of the injuries is anecdotal, and you've got to prove your case. That's the one thing. The second thing is the statute of limitations for filing is 1 year from the time you got the shot. And now most people are 4 years out.
Right.
Vast number of those people got the big peak of the number of people that got two shots in a booster were in 2001 and 2002. And it's a year from the time you got the shot. Not a year from the time you figure out that the injury was associated with the shot. Unlike in the VAERS program and in the Federal Court of Claims, which we call Vaccine Court, it's 3 years from the time you make the connection. So if you 8 years after you've had your shot, you suddenly do your research and you go, doggone it, I think all these neurological things I have, and I line them up and I see when I got the shot, when the symptoms started. From that point, you have 3 years to file a claim. And it could be somewhere out in the future. So now all of these people that were injured early on, the statute of limit, in fact, a lot of the adjudication processes, if you go to the CICP program, they have everything collected into spreadsheets. And you can parse and sort and do all these different things on these spreadsheets. And all of them will say filed But filing complete, qualified, but beyond the statute of limitations.
So wow.
So because they are more than a year out and they filed with the wrong case, wrong place, and there is no table, and there's no funding for it anyways. The, you know, Congress never funded the program because the prohibition, because funding it was prohibited by the PREP Act in 2005.
Right.
And so, you know, they set this up in 2005. In 2020, they've used this as a template for various things. They see the future because they plan the future. And they made it so that if anybody was injured, because if you remember back when in 1986, when the injury compensation program was set up, that was originally set up and signed into law by President Reagan, because all of the drug companies were saying, okay, we quit. We're getting sued so much left and right, particularly for the pertussis vaccine. We're not going to make them anymore unless you do something to protect us. Because, of course, vaccination is the cornerstone of our public health policy. And if we don't have high vaccination rates, children are going to die. And that's what they strong-armed Reagan into signing that. And then it has been morphed and changed and made worse over the years. But, it, you know, when it's so, and if you go back even further than that, back to 1955, when they first released the polio vaccine, they had some bad batches. You know, it's a long, long story, but we'll make it short and say there's a company called Cutter, and they released some polio vaccines that had live polio viruses in them. And people died and got very injured from that. And the pharmaceutical industry had to eat all of those claims. And they, and so the drug company said, that ain't happening again. And so from there, they got the U.S. government to put up the money for the insurance. So if they get sued, the U.S. government pays the bills, which is what the injury compensation program is about. And the VAERS database is funded. It's got $5.2 billion or something like that in its funding. And all of that money is accrued because every time a child gets a shot, the parents pay a tax on that shot, and that tax goes into that pot. So if there's an adjudication process, it doesn't even come out of the drug company's pocket. It comes from the collective pot of the parents who paid the tax on those vaccines.
Man, that okay. Wow. So we're funding our own award from injury.
Yeah. When we volunteer to take one for the team because we think that they're safe and effective, which they're not, and we get sick and we get hurt, maybe even died, you know, all of the money that pays us for compensation comes out of the pockets of parents that have paid a tax on those vaccines. So it's a collective tax. And so, and there have been twice, then I talk about this in the book, that twice over in just recently, probably in the last 4 to 6 years, they have floated bills twice in Congress to increase the death benefit from the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, because that was set up in 1986 and a death benefit was paid at $250,000. So what they were trying to do is to increase that $250,000 incomparable to inflation, to make that match. What would that $250,000 be worth in 2025 money? Like probably around $400,000. And twice they have tried to get that bill passed, and it's never left committee. And we've tried multiple times to get them to look at the VAERS program and now at the very least create a table, an injury table, and get compensation for all of these people. And they won't, I'm sure they won't do it, just like they wouldn't compensate all of the autism kids, you know, back in 2005 or six, whenever those big lawsuits were coming about. So it's just a crime against humanity. And I labeled it at the beginning of COVID. I started talking about democide.
Yeah.
Democide means death by government. And this is exactly what's happened. It's death by government. And when, you know, the results came out that the shots weren't even made by Pfizer and by Moderna, they were made by the Department of Defense. and Pfizer and Moderna were paid to put their stamp on it and take the hit for the Department of Defense. It was our government against us.
If you don't mind, and if we, if we can, how did you unraveling the creation of the, their words, not mine, the COVID vaccines, how was that rolled out? I mean, but just like a brief overview of that whole time period when that happened, because a lot of people say, well, look, the vaccines were created before the so-called pandemic and such. I mean, can you give us just like a 30,000 foot view of how that all played out in 20, you know, when we were first notified of this pandemic, if you will?
Well, I think the biggest thing to remember is that what we are seeing in real time, and it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's something about healthcare, whether it's a pandemic, whether it's something to do with a monetary policy, it doesn't matter what it is. What we are seeing right now today was planned 5, 10, 15 years ago. I mean, it's laid out behind closed doors with all of the powers that be, whoever they are, the Department of Defense and BARDA and Gavi and Gates and the World Health Economic Forum and all this stuff. It's planned out years in advance, and it's all written out, and it's just us, you know, coming along behind. So because they'd done research in 17, 18, and 19, I believe, about on the COVID vaccine, and, you know, all of those things were happening ahead of time. And they've spent, you know, decades. Actually, it's vaccination, in my opinion, is a 200-year multi-generational myth that has been propagated that if you say it over and over and over and over enough, you know, people suddenly believe that it's true. And it's never been true. And, you know, and so they have, you know, everybody... We're, you know, all about safe, effective, safe and effective, safe and effective, safe and effective. You hear that over and over and over again. Pretty soon you believe it's true, which neither one of those things are true. And then the next part is necessary. You have to have a vaccine if it's going to keep you from getting sick and dying. So safe, effective, and necessary, safe, effective, and necessary. And then the fourth part is, and they're harmless. Nobody ever gets injured from a vaccine. It's so rare. It's 1 in 2 million people, maybe even less than that. And when you hear that, and then you've got doctors telling you that, you got government telling you that, you got businesses telling you that. And if you don't take the time to investigate it and say, wait a minute, is that really true? And you just buy the Kool-Aid, then they whip up the fear and they turn the fear crank. They weaponize fear against everyone. Then they gravitate, that's already been planned, that you will gravitate to, we've got to have a vaccine. So when Operation Warp Speed came up and we got our vaccine that was going to stay, going to flatten the curve in 2 weeks, and it was going to stop the spread. I got to get my shot so I don't spread it to granny, and I got to save granny's life, you know, and all of these things were all pre-planned. Everyone, I lay this out really clearly in the book, that every one of the pandemic things that they've tried, going all the way back to, you know, the Spanish flu, you know, in World War I. And then, you know, when they have polio vaccine in 55, and then in 76, they have the swine flu pandemic nonsense that they had. And then they have SARS-1 in 2002, and then they have bird flu in 2005, then they have H1N1 in 2009, I believe, and then they have COVID. Each one of those, Doug, were market tests. They were market tests to see how far they could push. They push and push and push until people like me and you and Brian Artis and other people say, wait a minute, and this groundswell of resistance comes, then they back off. And then they spend a couple of years crunching their data. What worked? What didn't work? What should we do more of? What should we just throw out? How can we maneuver this so we can get more people vaccinated? They crunch all their data. I mean, remember at the beginning of COVID, the things they tried, you know, lifetime of donuts, you know, free beer, raffle for a college education, you know, lottery tickets, they did all these things. I'm sure that when they're crunching and now they're going, well, none of that really worked. We don't need to do that again. But what did work was weaponizing fear, the big fear thing. You might die. And if you don't get your shot, somebody around you might die. And, you know, I'm hoping that enough people have listened to me and you and, you know, a whole bunch of other of us that have been out there. Judy Mikovits, Brian Artis, you know, Peter McCullough, you mentioned, you know, Peter's a friend of mine. You know, all of these different people that have enough people have heard it have said, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, that ain't going to happen. I'm going to see through it and find a different way. And I'm not going to let them inject me with an experimental product ever the rest of my life.
You know, folks, in case you're unfamiliar, my guest is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. And of course, her website, which will be available, or the link will be on the program, in the program description boxes, is right there, drtenpenny.com. It's on her screen. But also, please follow her on social media at Busy Dr. T. That's BUSYDRT, all across social media platforms. And please do me another favor, support her work, support the things that she does. We need her in this game. This is not a game, it's a war. It's so important that this happens. So please, number one, get yourself a copy of the book. You will not be sorry. If you are, I will personally give you your money back. I'm serious. I've had no takers on that. But I'll say it's one of the best. And do me another favor too, because I know how the Amazon rating system works. Leave an honest review and make sure that your voice is heard there, because it's so important for the book itself. The more reviews, the more activity, the higher in rankings it goes, the higher in activity, and it makes a difference. People are trying to suppress this information. This book, I don't know that for a fact, but I can just about guarantee it. So please do your part. Get a hold of a copy of the book and then leave an honest review on Amazon, which I'm absolutely certain would be 100% favorable, and tell your friends about this. And do another favor, grab a copy for your physician, for your family member who's in medicine. But do this, because this to me is perhaps the single most, aside from RFK Jr.'s book about the real Dr. Fauci, which was a very specific lane of information, this is something that really, to me, will educate you and will leave you better informed, as well as your family.
You know, Doug, I want to tell you just real quick. The last week, we were bouncing between number one and number three book on healthcare policy on all of Amazon. I was really proud of that. I thought, you know, think about how many millions of books are on Amazon. Yep. And we were number one and bouncing back and forth between one and three. And I think it's right now at number three, which is still a lot to be proud of. So I think that people will, this will be a good reference. It's a good read. It's not exactly like a novel, you know, that you read it through and you're one and done. I've had people tell me that they've read it once and now they're going back through and putting little markers and yellow highlighting things so that they can, and dog earing the corners. And so I think it is also a good reference book. It's kind of like Suzanne Humphrey's books, you know, Dissolving Illusions. They're readable, but they're really more reference-y that you will can have it for references. And so I think that people will want to have this one around for a long time to come.
Man, I think you're right. There is something about the way this is written to me that it went down easy. You know, it's the difference between, honestly, like a tough steak versus a very, very tender, well-prepared steak. The experiences are different. This is that fillet of books, if I can make that comparison. So, yes, 100%. And I again, I love to read, and this is one of the books that I think really made an impact. Not I think, I know made an impact on me. If I can ask this, news today where RFK, or I don't know if you saw this, and I don't know how you feel about this because we haven't spoken before, but RFK, of course, fired just a whole boatload of people.
16 of them. Yay!
Yeah. So your thought, well, apparently you're okay with that, right?
100%. You know, for as many years as I've been doing this, and I've gone down to the CDC, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 times over the last 25 years that I've been doing this, and sat in back in the cheap sheet seats listening to these ACIP meeting things. And they're disgusting. It's just disgusting. I'll tell you a quick story on that. I went to the CDC right before COVID started. It was the end of February of 2020. And I thought they were going to be talking about this COVID thing that was kicking up in Europe, and, you know, things were starting to roll over the United States. I really thought that the meeting was going to be about that. So I went down to Atlanta and I went to the CDC because I wanted to hear what they had to say about it. It was the entire, like 90% of the meeting was about Ebola. They barely mentioned there was one researcher that they had come up to the microphone. They gave her a little clappy clap and she talked for maybe 10 minutes about COVID, and that was it. And then what was really interesting is that there were two young research women who got up and were talking about the Ebola vaccine and how they were bringing this to market. And they were trying to decide who was the right people to get this live virus vaccine that could kill them. And they were saying, well, the most likely candidates were people that were like in the transport business, you know, like if they were transporting, or if they were in the volunteer corps where they were going to Africa and taking care of people with Ebola. And somebody on the ACIP committee said, well, shouldn't we be giving it to pregnant women? And these two researchers women, they stood on the stage and they both were like, it's a live virus vaccine. We don't generally give live virus vaccines to pregnant women. And they said, well, let's convene for lunch. When they came back from lunch, all of the ACIP people voted yes to give it to pregnant women. No research, no studies, no documentation, no placebo control, no nothing. It was just they said, yep, we're going to vote to make people, the women who are like in Africa that are vulnerable and may get exposed, we will give it to, you know, or pregnant women, or pregnant women here working in labs that may get exposed to it. So these decisions that they make have been disgusting over the years. And when you sit and watch them, they're not paying a bit of attention to the presentations. They're fiddling around with their phones. They're doing all sorts of things on their computers. And then they all vote yes. They all vote yes. And then motion carries and it goes on. So, and Bobby knows these things. I mean, I've known Bobby for 20 years. You know, we've spoken at same meetings. We've had dinner together multiple times. And, you know, and those of us that have gone down to these meetings and just, you know, they give time for the community to come up and make a statement. They give you 3 minutes on this big clock that's up there. You see this little clock thing going around, and they don't care. They don't care. They're either fiddling with their phones, talking on their phones, talking to the people next to them, and the people who are making their case at the microphone because they've been vaccine injured, or they know vaccine injured people, or that they want to present something of research. They don't care. They don't. It's just a point of, you know, of Robert's rules, where they have to give people a chance to talk, and they don't care what they say, and they just pass and go on.
Man,
they've never seen a vaccine that they don't like. And right. when Bobby made the thing of at least making the COVID vaccine off the schedule, it's still available, but it's off the schedule for children and adults. And there was a lot of contention that went on about that. And I wrote a Substack piece and I said, the only vaccine that has been ever pulled off the schedule ever was in the swine flu vaccine that they shut down in 6 weeks because it killed people. The only other vaccine was RotaShield. And that was in 1999 when it caused intussusception. 1999. So 26 years later, we got this big ramp up of all the schedule, all these doses of all of these vaccines, and nothing's ever been pulled off the schedule. So this is a step in the right direction. You just can't go in and say slash burn, you know, stomp it to the ground, because there's still 40% of the people out in America who think vaccines are safe, effective, and their kids have to have them. You know, and so there's a strategy to politics, and politics, you know, are always a bunch of landmines, and you can't make everybody happy ever. And so, you know, and he's only been up there 105 days. So, you know, give him grace.
You know, I've got a tendency to forget this has taken 105 years plus, and they've been this administration has been active for less than 105 days when you consider the time for appointments and such. Yes, I'm an impatient kind of guy, but however, man, you know, we've got to give them some, cut them some slack. And I was going to ask you about that. You know, why not go the full boat and cut everything? I guess you just can't really do that and be effective. Or,
you know, the other thing is we've got the best chance we've ever had in the 25 years I've been involved in vaccine education or in health freedom or in just in integrative health. You know, I've been doing my own practice, my own clinic here in Cleveland, Ohio for almost 30 years. And we've got with Secretary Kennedy in that seat, we've got the best chance to gain ground than we've ever had. And we've already done, you know, I look at it as low hanging fruit, you know, the colored dyes and, you know, these different things. It's easy and nobody's going to argue much with you. You might get some blowback from big food because they got to spend money to reformulate things. But for the most part, everybody's going to go along with that. Nobody's going to there. I don't think there's a single person in America that will say, no, I want my red dye 40. You know, you couldn't say that. But there are many people in America that would say, what do you mean I can't have a flu shot? What do you mean that you aren't going to give me a COVID shot? What do you mean you're not going to allow me to protect my kids? You know, there's a whole bunch of, no matter how much education we've done, information we've done, books we've written, I write Substacks every week. I do 5 podcasts a week. I've been doing this for lots of years. How many years you've been doing it, and the guests that you've had on, and those guests have podcasts, and they've been having people on. It still is shocking to me that people are going, you mean COVID shots hurt people? Really? COVID shots? I mean, people get cancer after getting the COVID? Really? I mean, it's mind blowing to me. But the truth of the matter is, there's a lot of people who don't swim in our pond, who don't read our stuff, who are more interested in, you know, sports numbers than they are in the stuff that we're doing. And I just pick sports. It could be anything. It'd be, you know, name any other thing. But they're not, they don't swim in our pond. And so they don't know what we know intimately and have known inside and out for many, many years. And so because we know what we know, it's like, you've got to change this and you got to do it right now. And every time, every day that goes by that you haven't changed it, another person is going to die, which is true. And so I wrote a Substack on Saturday, kind of laying out that, you know, think about what previous HHS secretaries did, which was a big fat nothing. And the accomplishments that Bobby has done in the last, you know, 105, 107 days have been a lot, you know, there, and that we can still voice our dissatisfaction about the vaccine schedule and the direction that this is not going fast enough for us. And we can do, but we can do it respectfully. Right. And we can do it with, you know, give appreciation and accolades for what has been done, to keep the pressure and the heat on that we're watching, you know, to make things go forward. Because, you know, I started that Substack by saying that, that people are paying more attention to politics now than maybe in the last 100 years. I mean, when has there ever been hundreds of people that have gone to DC or have watched it online for confirmations of cabinet members? Like, never, you know, or maybe one here and there. Right. But, you know, to have, you know, dozens and dozens of people show up down there for Bobby's confirmation and for Tulsi Gabbard and, you know, all the rest of the, you know, Pete Hegseth and all these people that were really paying attention, and then were paying attention to what they're doing. Not, that's never happened before in my lifetime. Maybe for some people that that's what they do, but not many. And I think that there's more people paying attention to that now than ever. And now is the time to keep the hands on the steering wheel, keep the foot on the gas, but to do it respectfully. You don't need to drag people through the mud and be hateful about it.
Which separates us from them, if I can say that, because what we've seen lately, well, not lately, but what we've seen from them or whoever they are, I guess the permanent state bureaucracy, the left, the ideologically driven left, it's just crazy to watch them. Well, we see it playing out in our streets in part today, Compton, Los Angeles area, and other places. It's only getting worse, different reasons, different topic, but nonetheless, same ideological drivers. If I can ask just a couple of questions, and I know I don't want to take up, obviously, your time. I'm not even sure what your lot of time is. So you bolt or tell me you have to bolt whenever you need to. Now, but I do have some questions from people who have emailed me directly watching this live. So if you're up for a couple of questions, of course, the book, folks, is Zero Accountability in a Failed System, How Big Pharma Weaponizes Vaccines, Public Health, and the Law. There's a couple of, more than a couple, there's some interesting concepts on the weaponization of the legal system, which you think, I thought I knew about that, but frankly, this book really enlightened me on a lot of aspects of that. But one of the questions, the repeated questions I've been getting is, Dr. Tenpenny, are there any, any vaccinations, legitimate vaccinations, as a parent, grandparent, or guardian of a minor child that you would allow given to that child? And I think I know your answer, but I'll just let you answer that question.
The short answer, the very short answer is no. The short reason for that is a little poison is still poison. And when you read a package insert and understand what's coming through that needle, you wouldn't inject it in your neighbor's vicious dog. Why would you inject it in your baby? And somehow when we believe whatever's coming through that needle is going to protect us and keep us healthy when it really causes disease. You know, there was a quote from 1938 from a physician. I use this a lot in some of my earlier PowerPoints. It said, how can we in any way believe injecting foreign matter into the human body in any way improves its health? And when you read that, you know, almost all the viral vaccines have cow blood and chicken parts in them. They're also made from monkey kidney cells and dog kidney cells. And they've got more, if you get every dose of every vaccine throughout your life, you will have almost 1,200 micrograms of aluminum, 500 micrograms of mercury, and almost 100 doses of chemicals in your body. Now, how do you think that's supposed to make you healthier? And why? And so people need to read a little bit about pertussis and measles and rubella and find out what those infections really are and what you can do about them. You know, and there's lots of natural formulations, kind of like, you know, we overlooked ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine for COVID. Well, we overlook vitamin C, vitamin D, vitamin A, you know, astragalus as an herb. I mean, there's lots of things that you can do for prevention and lots of things that you can do to get well. But I also truly believe children are supposed to get sick. They're not. Yeah. Because, you know, I wrote a little ebook a few years ago. It's gone really well on our website. You can still find it. It's called The Importance of Fever. And it lays out to parents that fever is really important. It's not a bad guy. It's a good guy. You know, God gave us the ability to have a fever when we get an infection or a pathogen, and it burns it off. If the kid's got a temperature of 105, but they're running around the living room playing with toys and drinking water, or at least taking ice cubes and stuff like that, and are willing to eat a little bit, let the, you know, I was just used to say people when I worked in the ER, let it burn. Let it burn.
Exact words from my mom when I was small, young man. I used to get 104, 105 fevers. And she said, she told my dad, I remember this, that it's the body doing its job to exactly. burn out that fever, that infection. The infection. So, yeah.
And the other thing about that, Doug, is it's not just about eliminating a pathogen. What fever does is it stimulates your immune system. It's like taking your immune system to the gym. You know, it makes the cytokines work. It makes those connections together for the white blood cells to do what they're supposed to do. It brings up your heart rate a little bit, drains out your lymphatics, you know, cleans out the, I talk about it in the book. I call it cleaning out the dross. You know what, all, and maybe all of this, and I've never seen it done, but maybe all this, what if we test, you know, if you had a bronchitis or a pneumonia and you were coughing up all copious sort of phlegm, maybe we should test that phlegm for something other than a bacteria or a virus. Maybe we should test it for heavy metals, chemicals, parts of pharmaceuticals. Maybe it's your body's way of detoxing, you know, creating mucus to grab hold of those particles and get them out of your body. I would say that most people, not all, but most people, after they've had a good bout of the flu, after they recover, they feel better. And it's because your body's has exercised its ability to make a fever. It's gotten stuff out. Either you've vomited or diarrhea. You've got stuff out of your body. If you've got stuff out of your lungs, if you're a smoker, you've got cadmium and all kinds of junk that you're trying to get out. And so the body creates mucus for a reason. It's not that it's a bad guy. It's globbing hold of stuff and trying to get rid of it out of your body. And we, you know, doctors have forgotten this stuff, Doug. You know, doctors have forgotten to be experts in anatomy, physiology, and biochemistry. They've become a little better than glorified drug reps. Symptom pill, symptom pill, symptom pill. And the only tool in their toolbox is a prescription pad. And they've forgotten all the things that your body does naturally to help itself, cleanse itself, to heal itself, and to get back to a state of homeostasis.
Very interesting. Again, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, the original voice of vaccine research, truth, and education. DrTenpenny.com is the website. Again, links in the program description box. Interesting. You've got a product as well, right? Toxic overload zeolite, number one recommendation. Is that yours or is that?
That's ours.
Okay.
We've been recommending that for about 5 years because it really works. And we've got literally thousands and thousands of testimonials of people that, because it works like a one-way basket. It goes through your system and the toxin goes in and it can't come out. And then it's once it's bound together, it goes out either through your urine or through your stool. And so I did a little research. I'm working on a project right now for bone health. And I did a little research and found that aluminum, cadmium, mercury, lead, it gets stored up mostly in your bones. And it can be, and with repeated doses, can be there for 30 years. And almost every vaccine uses aluminum as an adjuvant. And so these repeated doses that we give to these little babies that we're going in making their bones be toxic and unhealthy and all the neurological complications that we can come with that. I mean, why anybody would still to this day not take a little bit of time to do a little bit of investigation and know what's coming through that needle and say, I don't think so. We have lots of courses in our other site, which is learningforyou.org. And up at the top of that bar, there's a little button that says catalog. And when you click on that, you know, it'll drop down and you'll see all the different courses that we have for pregnant women, for senior citizens, for babies. And I just finished a course that's available now up there on the shingles vaccine and why it is a terrible thing to do for anybody is 50 years of age and older. And each decade of your life, it's less effective and more toxic, and you're more likely to get shingles if you get the shot. And so,
I just have to verify, you know, when I was in the hospital briefly last or month, I don't know, 6-7 weeks ago, I couldn't believe just the, hey, have you gotten, are you up to date with your boosters for COVID? Have you got, I said, get that stuff and shingles too, which is so far off my radar. I said, just keep that stuff away from me, you know, and which they did. I signed a non-consent form and such, but I couldn't believe that they're continuing to push this. It's hard to believe. So learnforyou.org. We'll make sure we link
learning,
that.
Learning for you. Learning, the number four, Y-O-U. Learning, the number four, Y-O-U.org. Learning for you.org. And then, yeah, we just have a new RSV shot up there. We have RSV shots. Now we have four of them that they approved, two for seniors, one for babies, and one for pregnant women. And so that course just got up there. And then the shingles course I just released about a week ago. And so that just got up there too. Yeah.
Fantastic. Okay. Wow. And also, folks, Dr. Tenpenny does a weekly or a daily podcast. And of course, Substack. I mean, I don't even know. Again, at Busy Dr. T, at Busy DRT. No wonder that name is so appropriate. So please, make sure you tune in, and you can become a member with Prime Access at drtenpenny.com, correct? I mean, that's
The better place. If you're an existing member, you can go in through drtenpenny.com, but if you go to shoptenpenny.net and click on the membership tab, it'll tell you all about the membership. For the members, you get a monthly white paper that I write that's about 20 pages long. You'll get a pre-recorded PowerPoint presentation that you can watch anytime. And then the fourth Wednesday of the month, we have a webinar for our members. And then other people can buy a seat if they want to come too. It's called Ask the Expert. And so this month, in the month of June, we're doing bone health. And we've got, I've already got the white paper written. We're having two recorded presentations for our members. And the Ask the Expert this month is going to be over the moon. You know, this will be the sixth month now that we've done the Ask the Expert members at the end of the month. It's free for as part of your membership, or you can come and listen, and you can buy a ticket for $49, which is really inexpensive. And these have been over the moon good. I'm telling you, I've learned from them. They've been great speakers. Very informative, open. It's an open forum question and answer on a Zoom. And so people can really, and people, you know, if you're a member, you have lifetime access to those, or you can go in and purchase them individually at shoptenpenny.net over the shop tab or over the membership tab. If you want to become a member and support our work, that you can come in at $25 a month. I think it's $300 for the year, and it allows us to do five podcasts a week, seven Substack things a week, all the Ask the Expert stuff, the free white papers, the free report, pre-recorded stuff. We do a lot of stuff for free, and a lot. And so your support, your monthly support really helps. And in supporting us, if you're going to buy vitamins and that, we have a shopping store that we appreciate your business. We'd appreciate your business in our apparel store. And what's really cool, Doug, is that my whole team, we all take these things, you know. This is my little zeolite bottle sits right here. We take them over. We take Boost and you know, glucose control and the parasite cleanse. We all take it ourselves. It's not that we just are you know, pumping products. These are all things that we all take and can all talk about from experience.
I love that. So if I want to, tell me this, if I want to get the best bang for my buck, I should go to shoptenpenny.com. right?
Yeah, shopcompany.net.
Right.
And click on the membership tab and become a member, because you get a lot of benefits and a lot of discount codes, and you get a lot of different things, you know, for supporting us. That would be your best bang for your buck. And then the second best bang for your buck is to go to Amazon and buy my book.
Yeah, to me, that's a must. I'm telling you, that book opened my eyes, and my wife is reading that right now. And I love it. She said, "Did you read this?" Well, yeah, I read the whole thing. It's like, wow, you know. So, folks, Dr. Tenpenny's newest, latest, greatest book, it's on Amazon. Zero Accountability in the Failed System: How Big Pharma Weaponizes Your Vaccine, Public Health, and the Law. Please read it, share it, buy a copy for others, and support Dr. Tenpenny every which way you can, because, you know, look, we don't want her slacking off in her spare time. Seriously, I mean, wow, man, I can't believe how busy you are, and you are busy, and wow, I just, you know, my goodness, between Substack and everything you're doing is just incredible. I really appreciate that, and I don't want to keep you from your rest, but I really appreciate.
Do you have any other questions, burning questions out there you want me to do?
Well, one more. You know, I love my dog, and others love their pets. I must have a half a dozen questions on this. Animals, specifically dogs, cats, whatever, rabies, from rabies vaccines to whatever. Do you have any thoughts on that, giving animals vaccinations?
It's just more poison. It's just poisoning your pets. And the pets get cancer, and the pets die, and they go, well, just go get another one.
Yeah.
And your pets are your whole life.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, you can't really do that with your kids, but they don't think much about it when it's your pets.
That's, I'm going to tell you right now. My baby dog will never see the end of another needle again. So, yes. Anything that we should know about in terms of your schedule, your speaking engagements coming up, or are you kind of going to lay back a little bit this summer and just do the 7 days a week that you're already doing? Or is there anything special you got coming up?
I'm doing a presentation next weekend in Spring Mill, Florida. I'm going to be there on I think it's the 18th and the 19th. And then on the 21st, there's an event that I'm doing that's in Venice, Florida. And we've got that information on our website. And then the following week on the 28th, I'm doing an event in West Palm Springs. And so I'm going to stay down there. And then tomorrow or Wednesday, I'm leaving. I'm going to do a bit of a book tour with all of our friends in Texas. So I'm going to be with Alex Jones and Owen Schroyer and Mike Adams and Alex Zek. And then I'm doing a Zoom thing with Brian Artis. And then I'm probably going to be on Highwire, and there's a few other places that I'm hoping to be. So the next round, because, you know, right now, it's really as busy as I can do. So we're just really trying. I'm just really passionate about getting the word out about this, because it's a level of understanding that people haven't had before. Yeah. And it makes me feel really good when people that, like yourself and Suzanne and a few other people that have read the book and have gone, I thought I knew this. I thought I was kind of bored when I read this. I was just kind of going to read it because, you know, I read your Substacks and I like your style and I like the way that you write. And so I just kind of wanted to hear what you had to say. I thought I'd just kind of flip through it. And I found myself like really reading it. There's call out boxes, there's educational sorts of things. And then I'll tell you a quick story. I'm rereading it to get all the little factoids in my head for these interviews. And I find myself highlighting and writing in the margin, and I'm laughing at myself going, it's your book, Sherry. You know, so
I've done that with mine, but nothing like yours. I understand that concept. I really do. Wow. It was just such a pleasure having you with me tonight. I so appreciate it. Everything that you do. And when you're down there in Texas, you tell Alex and Owen, I said hello, and I got to stop down and see them. But, one of these days, but please tell them I said hello. And, I really appreciate all that you have done. Again, I am really, really high on your book. And I recommend everyone grabs a copy. Your Substacks must read. And folks, we must support Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. Dr. Tenpenny, thank you so much for your gracious gift of time. Michelle, thank you, the executive for Dr. Tenpenny. We really appreciate all that you do.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your accolades. It's really, really nice of you.
Well, I have a rule. I'm going to tell you right now. I don't ask anyone to come on that if they have a book. If I haven't read it, I really don't want them on until I've read it. And I read your book, and I mean everything that I say, because it's so important that we have the proper information in the proper context, and you provide that in this book, and I really appreciate that.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you to your viewers, and thank you for your generosity, Doug.
God bless you. Thank you, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, one of the best of the best, the original fighters in this war that we find ourselves in. Oh man, you know, it's just mind-blowing. But folks, again, that book is just fantastic. Again, you could we'll make it easy for you. Link in the program description box, and please get yourself a copy and read it, because you will be just blown away by it. Okay, that's enough said. And if you don't make me come back there. Don't make me come down and see you. All right. So that was Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. God bless that woman. Can you believe how busy she is? I mean, you know. Oh, man, that's just crazy. All right. So a lot of other things taking place. What do you folks think of the National Guard? I mean, what do you think of what's going on in California? Governor Newsom basically saying F you to President Trump. We do have information right now, as others have. And in fact, there's a video. Let me just double check this here. There's a video about June 14. Agitators are planning and organizing mass protests for Flag Day. Okay, you know, they want a pink puke flag for Flag Day. No. Flag Day is Flag Day. But there is a video. Let me just see how what this is here. It's a minute 40. Mass protests organized nationwide 6/14. Share this video with everyone you know. Notkings.org apparently is the website. This is right now, and live in this program. This is at the Liberty Daily, the news aggregation site. And this, if we can show this, Eric the Tech, again, this is the top left, the latest story out. And it's urging people to stay calm and stay, you know, stay alert. But this is something that I think we need to pay attention to. Here's what I think. You have a left that is so desperate. You have the globalists that are so desperate. The Bill Gates, the Alex Soros, the members, the leftist, ideologically driven leftist members of Congress. You've got the enemies of the Constitutional Republic. You've got people that want to change our nation. You've got roughly, and maybe this is too generous, but you've got roughly half the nation, a little less than that, and I think far less when push comes to shove, far less than that, who are bent on perverting everything that's good, that's right, that's moral, that's godly. Okay, you might have a small percentage that's active. The rest is they tacitly approve. They'll go along with it because they are brain dead. They're friggin' idiots. Okay. But you do have communist agitators paid for by unions, by people in positions of business positions, NGOs, and so on. So you've got some things, in my view, in the offing this summer specifically. Now, up here in the Great Lakes area, the southern Great Lakes area, I don't know if we're ever going to have summer. Yeah, it's a little bit warm, but it's kind of the sun, what's that? But the other places in the country, large cities especially, from Pittsburgh to Cleveland to Los Angeles and such, in New York, I think we're going to see an uptick in riots, in agitators, in the communist cells breaking out and pushing against us and testing our limits. And you notice, contrast and compare the police reaction to protesters in 1968, Chicago. They were beaten heads. They were bloodying people. You had the Democratic National Convention held in Chicago, and you had the speakers there saying, hey, we have cops beating up our free freedom loving people out there, and we're going to move the convention. Oh, no, they didn't. But notice the difference between then and now. The police today are told to stand down by the leftist, democratic leftist scumbag mayors, by the governors like the scumbag new scum, like Walls, okay, and that crazy bitch of a wife of Walls, who reportedly sat. In her home with the windows up so she could gently waft in the smoke from the burning tires and burning buildings during the Floyd riots. You remember that? Remember that interview with that nutbag? Well, so here's the latest, reportedly, from what is going to happen in 5 days from now, Flag Day, June 14th. Eric the Tech, were you able to catch this? Were you able to get this, my friend? All right, cool. Appreciate that. This is a minute something, but here it is. Watch this, take heed, and plan accordingly. Here it is.
This might be one of the most important videos I've ever made. This map right here, this is a map on nokings.org. Nokings.org. If you go there, you will see this along with everything else they have planned and orchestrated to start chaos and riots with protest on the 14th of this month, which is the parade, which is Donald Trump's birthday. Hold on. They go on and tell you why they're doing this, why it's important to do this, because Donald Trump is using taxpayer dollars to celebrate the military with a parade on his birthday party. The irony of that. What about the taxpaying dollars to... never mind. They'll explain everything on why they have to start these groups and these little cells everywhere to have massive protest, and it's absolutely... horrific when you read it. Hold on. And then the days leading up to the 14th, they have calls, Zoom calls, nationwide calls. This one here is today, Disappeared in America, mass call. Everyone has to get on. We got to spread this out. We got to spread this out and get this out to everybody. The cities are, they're everywhere that they're going to be doing this in. And if you think what's happening right now in California is bad, no wonder Trump is bringing in 7,000 troops, the Marines, the SEALs, and the arsenal. Holy cow. How long do they have this planned? Nokings.org. Share with your friends. Get the word out. Love y'all.
I will say this. I think I can safely say this. We, Randy Taylor and myself, by the way, Randy Taylor will be joining me tomorrow. As it stands right now, unless something happens with his schedule, but or mine, which I don't expect mine, but anyway, we have been on at least, I know I have one, and I think he has at least one of these Zoom calls in preparation. And I still haven't found. Now, for example, I'm not going to say where, because I don't want to give any oxygen to the people, but there was one location, and it's probably on social media, where they have placed, repositioned cinder blocks in on pallets, shrink-wrapped, pre-positioned these pallets of blocks. Now, I will say this without any fear of problems. We were able, at least I'll take responsibility for this, I was able to have at least one pallet destroyed, that moved first and then destroyed. The other pallets, I believe, are in the process, if not today, very soon, of being moved. But no, you know what? I think they've already been moved on trucks so they could be used for building products, if appropriate, or other for other repurposing. So we have surveilled the Zoom calls. I'm letting you know what's done is done. Too effing bad. The only thing I didn't think, and I had to ask, or I should have asked Eric this, if I recorded that, would they know? I'm talking about recording on the platform or from the platform and onto my computer, as opposed to taking a computer and setting it next to the, taking a tape recorder, did I say that right? And sitting next to the computer. Eric the Tech, do you know if you cannot record a Zoom call without others knowing it?
They probably have Zoom recording off, okay. But you could screen record it.
You'll have to tell me how to do that. Walk me through that. Okay. Because I want to bring to you what we are doing behind the scenes. Because I'm a big believer. I don't like to play defense. Look, I was never athletic in school, ever. The most athletic in school I ever. I know it's hard for you ladies to believe, given my svelte physique, right? I mean, the most exercise I got was moving the chess pieces. I had the occasion to spend some time with my stepson, just a little diversion. My grandson, Eric's son, 5 years old. He could hit a golf ball. Now, I didn't see it, of course, but this weekend, but spending time with him. He can hit a golf ball further than I could ever think of hitting a golf ball at 30 or 40 or 50 years old. I'm telling you what, a little Tiger, white Tiger Woods, just like his dad. He could hit a ball, a baseball, further than I've ever seen a child of that age hit it. And in addition to that, he's very, very intelligent. And ladies, at his tender age, he's single. Stop. No, he's going to be a catch when he gets older. And of course, I have to give a shout out to my granddaughter as well. What a cutie. Anyway, the reason I mentioned that is had some time to spend with both of them. So proud of them, but thank you. Thank you for allowing me to say that. Okay. And you know what? It makes it all worthwhile. This fight makes it all worthwhile. If we can go in there and gum up the works by way of Zoom, I didn't see any Jeffrey Toobin type action on the call. I didn't see that. Was kind of waiting for that. Now, I saw some pretty weird creatures, and I do have No, it's in my office. I was going to show you the. Of course, it would be probably self-defeating to show you the number of participants, which is formidable, on the calls. And there were obviously speakers, and then there were the people that just kind of hung back and listened, took instructions, and you know how that works, right, folks? So we are there. We are on multiple notification lists because we want to be there and we want to F them up in the streets. Because if let me tell you this. When I say F them up in the streets, I'm not talking about beating their heads in. I'm talking about making it so they're looking around for, I thought there was going to be a pallet here of bricks or of projectiles. I thought there was going to be a delivery of whatever. And delivery happens to be rerouted elsewhere. Let me tell you. So the things that we're doing is not just reporting on this. And this is so important for people to understand. Because we do receive your support. The only way we operate is through your support. And we appreciate that from the bottom of our hearts. So if we can make it so they're chasing their tails in the streets, it's a whole lot better than cops getting the crap beat out of them because they're told to stand there and take it, you know, up the wazoo by Newsom and Walls and others. It's a whole lot better for us to be able to screw up the works underhandedly, don't you think? Of course, I've got no objection to going out there and making examples out of these little dweebs that never held a job, never had anything meaningful, did anything meaningful in their lives. I got no problem with that at all. And as far as I'm concerned, like I said, I've said many times before, if they're lining up in the streets, I would run them down like pinballs. And you can record this. You could send this to whoever you want to send it to. I'm telling you right now, I ain't stopping. My car does not go in reverse. I'm just going straight forward. And I have a big enough vehicle right now that I will tell you, they ain't getting up. But that's the way I roll, and that's the way I'm going to roll. Speaking of that, I sent Eric the Tech this. Yeah, there's my sigh again, right? Governor Newsom, or Newscum, or the guy, or Mr. French Laundry, is calling President Trump deranged for sending troops into Los Angeles to quell this insurrection by the communists, by these illegals, by these invaders. You know, it's really bad, right? When you have the Los Angeles Police Department saying the protests are peaceful and without incident. This is a 30-second snippet. You like that word, snippet? It's on X. When was this? This was yesterday, I guess. Yeah, yesterday. It's only 29 seconds. If you can roll that, just in case people haven't caught what's really going on. Here it is. So I've got some ideas of how to stop this. My wife won't, she doesn't like going shopping with me. I had to stop and I had to actually go to a department store chain. And I had to purchase some articles of clothing on sale because I'm very frugal. Anyway, I'm at the counter. This was Saturday, Friday, Saturday. I don't know. No, it was after Friday, Saturday, I guess. So I asked the cashier Her name was Cheryl. It was right on the name tag. I said, Cheryl, let me ask you a question. And my wife, as soon as that came out of my mouth, okay, she's like out the door because she knows it's going to be a minute or more. I said, Cheryl, let me ask you this. We're in a relatively small town, small city, I should say, in the suburbs and such. Does this store have a problem with shoplifting? And she rolled her eyes and said, oh, yes. I said, so what's store policy? Just curious. What's your store policy of handling shoplifters? Well, if we can, we call the police. I said, can you explain that statement? What do you mean, if you can? Well, sometimes they're just too quick and they leave the store. I said, what's the average theft up here? And she said, oh, around 1,000 per episode. I said, so how many episodes does that equate to? She said, you know what? I really don't know, but in my shift, maybe once, twice a shift. I said, is that frequent? I said, can you tell me? And now she's getting a little uncomfortable. I said, I'm just curious. You know, hey, I'm just curious. Can you tell me, number one, is there an age demographic? Like, is there when you see these people leaving the store with your or the store's merchandise, is there like an age group that you can assign to that? And she said, well, pretty much on the younger side, meaning anywhere between a teenager to mid to late 20s. I said, okay. I said, how about, and this is where she really got a little bit like, I don't want to answer this question. I said, what about race or ethnicity? Is there anything that sticks out? Again, non-scientific, conversational, just a curious old guy wanting to know. And she said, you know, one, and she was okay. I mean, it's a little uncomfortable, but okay to answer. She said, we've been getting a lot of these, and she called them migrants up here. And by the way, we know where they're coming from. I mean, we know where in Erie where these people are residing and who is putting them up. I'm going to do a show on that. She said, perhaps that might be tied with the black population in our community. And she was quick to say, I'm not being a racist. I'm just telling you, I'm answering your question. And I did. And conversation, I said, well, just pretend like you're on the witness stand and ask without emotion or anything like that. Just ask truthfully. And she said, you know, illegals or people who don't speak the language and are obviously from a different country. That's probably number one. And number two would be the black population. I said, do you have an equal amount or lesser amount of whites that do this? And she said, well, there's probably maybe 30% white to that, the majority being black or in from other countries. I'm just giving you real-time data as it stands. So ultimately, I said, what is the store going to do about this? And she said, to my knowledge, nothing. It's a policy that has remained in effect. You know this, I know this, but I had to ask. I said, how about this? Do you think your store would mind me standing armed at the door and maybe we can stop this, cut the losses? And she got all red and like, I don't think that would be a good idea. I said, well, if we stack them up like cordwood out there, along with the merchandise they were taking, that would send a message, clear and convincing message in my view. And she said, yeah, I don't think that's in line with our store policy. So I just had to share that with you and take it for what it's worth, right? Take it for what it's worth, but okay. A couple of interesting videos that are relevant to today. Eric the Tech, if you can go on Bannon's War Room on I'll send you the link. Unless, do you need the link on Rumble? I can send it right now because I didn't have a lot of time to prepare for the show. And I want to mention something. All right. So next Friday, I'm going to be taking, I'm going to need Friday off. And I've got to say this. We're doing a lot in the field. We're doing a lot in terms of, child rescue, that operation, Shatter Ops, Save Them. There's a lot of things going on. There's two parts to that. There is the exposing and going after, legally arresting, child predators, number one. And then the second part of that, the other side of that, is actually the rehabilitation, or it's more than rescue. It's rehab of the young children. And it's extreme. It's, tell you what, it's that alone. It seems like a full-time job. And there are a lot of young children being caught up in child sex trafficking. And I separate that from labor trafficking, because the trauma is a whole lot different. So I want to mention that. And just like Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, just like she is busy educating others, writing books, doing Substacks, doing podcasts, they're doing this with children, you know, rescuing the children, arresting the perps, and then on the other side, rehabilitation. And that's a very tough road, the rehabilitation, let me just tell you. So there's that. So that's number one. Number two, you know, I've got some medical issues I've got to take care of. It's going to be next. I'm trying to limit the exposure. I'm probably going to have another surgery or two. And so having said that, there are going to be dark days, or days, not dark days, days where the program will not be aired. So next Friday is going to be one of those weeks. I'm not 100% sure when this is all going to happen. So, I just ask for your patience, all right, as I go through this and as we try to keep our commitments on the ground and the field level. And that includes fighting these, fighting against these riots and this organized resistance, which is going to hit peak this summer. I see two areas of major concern this summer, and of course next year, summer and fall leading up to the midterms, because what's taking place right now, it's a little difficult to explain except to say the left believe that they are winning through judicial tyranny. And also, the other thing, too, is the infiltration into the cabinet positions as staffers, as support personnel. So the objective is for them to remain in power or to maintain their positions. What we saw today, as Dr. Tenpenny, the first hour, said, RFK, you know, just 16 members of the CDC gone. That's what we need. And there's more to be done in that area, but there's also a whole lot more to be done within the cabinet, within the support personnel, from the West Wing into congressional offices and so on. So I said all of that because we are doing what we can to practically gum up the works. Okay. So that does take time. It takes, you know, appointments here, appointments there, in terms of Zoom meetings, and doing what we can locally to expose the mopes, the Muppets, the communist people who are lining their pockets with government money, which I've always been a crusader against this. Going back to the really the mid 1980s. And I'll save that story, but again, we've got to fight. Now, tomorrow night, talking about fighting, Randy's coming in to talk about the infiltration that we've been able to accomplish. Specifically, he's been able to accomplish and exposing who is behind, and even to the extent of kind of giving some stories as to what is being done to really screw with them and send them chasing their tails. It's good when we can do that. So I'm not going to get into deep. Now, Eric the Tech, I sent you a link. I saw this today, and I wanted to let me just talk amongst yourselves for a minute. I wanted to grab this. Let's see here. The title to this in the link is Battle for America is in L.A. Birkwam, the American people seeking the arrest of Newsom and L.A. mayor. The reason I selected this, I saw this. And what I guess if we were to encapsulate what is taking place, this is taking place across the U.S. And this is indeed a battle for our nation. This is on Steve Bannon. This is just under 5 minutes, but I think it's an important 5 minutes. It gives you kind of an overview of what is taking place. And there are certain things in this video, if you take a look, and I think Ben points them out. If not, you can take a look yourself. These are things to look for, and this is, Newsom is the poster child for the communist left. They're going to trot Newsom out for the candidate, I believe, in 28 as their nominee. Damaged goods, I agree. But it's no longer the party of John Edwards, for example, if you remember that scandal back in, what was that, I don't know, where, you know, he impregnated a woman and then, of course, had to bow out. That's not today anymore, 20 years later, roughly. No. This is really where it's at. Eric the Tech, do you have that? Yeah. Battle for America. Okay, perfect. Folks, take a look at this and understand, and you guys are smart guys, women, you guys, you're very intelligent. You know what to look for, and you know the gravity that we face today. And I'm sure, I am sure. Our parents, my parents, were very concerned in 1968, for example, and saying, hey, you know what? I don't think it'd get any worse without going to blows with your neighbor. That's the same as today. Now, the difference is you have a lot more people. And think about this. You got to me, you're Dr. Tenpenny, so you really have to know the history. So you've got to witness the evolution from 1968 through today. It's very important. And for those too young to remember that, then watch things like this and educate yourselves on what happened in 68. The people who were involved, you've got a refined leadership today. A better refined leadership, despite the MLKs and the Malcolm X's and so on, and the Rudds, the members of the SDS back in the late 60s. They've refined. So take a look at this and understand what we face as a nation, but we're not alone, because this has gone into a globalist movement, as you will see. And as you know, this is a globalist movement now. So, okay, here it is. Watch this, and then I'll comment on the other side as we get close to closing. But again, this is so important. You've got to take a look at this. Ben Berkwam, here it is.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. I just saw Benny's post earlier. We just got some B-roll here. These are the cars that they burned yesterday, just going by us. The cleanup just finally wrapped up around the corner from us. But that's what I hear. I hear Benny's embedded with them, and they're going to be making their way down here. But to your other point, I mean, this is one of the things you got to give it to the left. They always circle the wagons, and they, you know, you look at what they did with the invasion on our southern border. They doubled down, and now when you actually have President Trump rightfully going, you've got ICE and Tom Homan rightfully going and picking up not only illegal aliens, but illegal aliens that committed additional crimes, some of the most heinous you can imagine. The left is doubling down, tripling down, and going after the very people that are sworn to protect our borders, to protect our country, which is what really makes us a country. Yeah. On our side, we're more worried about getting called names, and the American people are sick of it. I mean, when they hear Tom Homan come out and say, we're going to arrest Gavin Newsom, we're going to arrest Karen Bass, they want it to happen now. And the longer it goes on where they don't, the American people just say, well, there you go. The Republicans, big talk again and not doing anything. They want these arrests to happen. And if they don't happen, yeah. Stephen's right. Yeah. This is the death of our country. In fact, the building is spray painted on. You can't see it right now. Death to America. That's what they want.
Okay, can you pause that for a second, Eric? Okay, and you, if you want, you can put me up on the left there. But here's the issue, and you don't have to, but here's the issue. They want this to happen. Understand what that means. They're itching for a fight. Okay. Now, does that mean we should back down and not grant them their wish? I don't think so. And Tom Homan, knowing him, I mean, as I know him, I still have to drag that interview up once I find it. It's on one of my hard drives. He's not averse to doing that, but he's got, of course, he's got the administration that he answers to, but he will do that. But the reaction, not just nationally, but from this global, as Diana West points out, red thread, is going to be extreme. That's fine if we are prepared for it. And I want to point that out because a lot of people are saying, okay, let's rock. And I'm 100% behind you. Just know what we're getting ourselves into. Now, I believe the resistance is smaller, at least the doers, the plotters are many. The planners are many, but the actual doers in the streets are fewer than the planners. And a large percentage of those are not interested in getting arrested. Now you've got sons and daughters of some leftist politicians who wear an arrest as a badge of honor. We've always had that. Remember that. We've always had that. In the 60s, we've had that. So listen to and watch the rest. And thank you for allowing me to opine on this. But I think this is an important aspect to realize what we're dealing with, and we're faced with a very difficult decision. Do we arrest them? My view, you're damn right, wholesale, and perp walk the people in front of all of America. And if America is split 50-50, as they say it is, then let's exacerbate that split, because we cannot coexist with these mopes, muppets, and pieces of crud. Here you go for the rest of it.
Ben, I jumped you a little bit because you went back to there are 30 million or more illegal aliens in the country. I totally subscribe to that. I was talking about just the ones that came in on Biden's regime to get out and to get out now. And the reason there's this difference is that the Republican Party never would step up to the plate and say, this can't happen. We got to deport these people. They were too weak. And the reason is this is hard. For President Trump, there's one thing about the bad hombres, the criminals. It's also you've got it. All of them, everybody's got to be deported. Hispanic citizens are getting crushed. African-American citizens are getting crushed. Their schools, their health care, the crime in the community, and their wages. Nothing's better because of this. Nothing is better for... Yeah, are the wealthy getting cheaper nannies? Are the wealthy getting their lawns cut cheaper? Remember, they don't really pay the price of... because they're getting huge tax cuts, they don't really pay the price for the collapsing medical system and emergency health care system and the education system. That's all dumb. That's because the poor use those services. Of course, there's unlimited upside for the wealthy to do this. And this is why you see Soboroth and those guys, you know, they're laughing in your face. This is what Stephen Miller's saying. This is what ICE is doing. It's the deportations. When we opened the show and they said, hey, the trauma of actually people coming in. Yes, people that are here illegally, they came here on Biden's watch, have got to go. We have programmed right now for 1 million. Ben, tonight, tell me how dicey is this thing going to get tonight?
It's going to be ugly. It's going to get more and more violent. It's not a safe place to be if you live in L.A. A lot of businesses shut down when this stuff happens because they know these guys are violent thugs. Undoubtedly, they're going to take over the freeways again unless President Trump, unless the National Guard is allowed to do what it needs to do and actually give the spankings that these spoiled little kids deserve. It's going to be really, really ugly. And until the American people say enough is enough and stand up and say, we got your back, President Trump. We got your back, Stephen Miller. We got your back, Tom Holman. That's what we need to see across the country. We need to see counter protests with people coming out saying, we support you. And thank God, Steve. Thank God for President Trump. Thank God for Tom Holman. Thank God for Stephen Miller, for these guys that have the balls to actually do it. We've had such wussy Republicans for so long to actually have guys that will come out and stand up and actually do what needs to be done. And now we're in that point right now. It's just getting started. And it's going to be ugly.
Ben, thank you. Social media, where they get you. I may try to track you down for the 6 o'clock hour because we want updates on this. I agree with you. You're 3 hours behind us, but as it gets darker out there, it's going to get ugly. The engine room up in Napa Valley did send me, I think they arrested 154 combatants up in San Francisco. They need to have those type of arrests. They need to arrest 1,000 people plus tonight and not just process them in and out, but I mean really arrest them for insurrection. Ben Berquam, your social media.
Real America's Voice at Real AM Voice on social media. We're going to start posting some of the videos I've got already. We're going to be obviously getting a lot more tonight, so stay tuned for that. My Substack, if you want to subscribe, especially paid subscribers, really appreciate it. It's Frontline America on Substack. And my personal social is just my name, Ben Berquam. I'll be posting the videos. And anything breaks down here, Steve, I'll be getting back to you and Cameron, and we'll be jumping back on.
And Eric the Tech, thank you. Again, you can see where this is beginning to coalesce. Eric the Tech, if you can put up the live feed from the same, without the audio, the live feed from the same channel, which would be the last video. You can just slide me over, minimize me or whatever. But this is U.S. Marines deployed to Los Angeles. And I think this is important. This is an important inflection point in today's history where you've got, and there it is, a live shot right there. This is live from KCAL in Los Angeles. You've got protests against the ICE raids. So just to be clear, you've got people protesting the enforcement of legitimate laws. You've got Pelosi. While you're watching this, again, please understand the anarchy that the left has been building. I'm talking about the left in Congress. I'm talking about the Biden regime. I'm talking about the Obama regime. I'm also referencing the Bush dynasty because the Bushes believe me, have blood on their hands, both nationally and internationally. So you've got to look at this as a whole. This is a mosaic, but it's one, it's really a nonpartisan. It's a globalist versus us. We are the victims here. The police, okay, at the moment, again, just following orders ain't cutting it. However, when you are not provided as police with the equipment, personnel, the backup, or even the legal authority to fight against this, you are nothing more than cannon fodder anyway. All right. So there's that taking place. And then you've got Pelosi, which is absolutely, Gateway Pundit's reporting this. Gateway Pundit reporting that Pelosi drops F-bomb in response to Trump deploying the National Guard to Los Angeles. This piece of Speaker Emeritus, Nancy Pelosi is, quote, furious over President Donald Trump deploying National Guard troops to Los Angeles in response to these illegal and out of control, potentially dangerous, murderous mobs. She's still pissed off over J6 when she was Speaker and failed to protect the Capitol. She admitted as much. President Trump offered 10,000 troops. Now, by contrast, as you heard and as you can see, you've got just a few thousand being deployed to Los Angeles. But this is a good thing. And keep in mind, too, you know, what was that song by Crosby, Stills, Nash? How many dead in Ohio? Okay. Anyway, keep in mind Kent State. Keep in mind what happened there. That was a setup. That we could do a whole program on the run up to the Kent State event itself, and then what followed up through and including President Nixon's resignation. But I digress. Look at the signs. Look at the flags. Do not bring there here, because if you do that and allow it, here becomes there. You turn a city into a first-class world shithole. And that's what's happening. Okay, that's exactly what's happening. Because of the very people in charge, the people, a lot of you, not you, our audience, but you voted in. You've got blood on your hands. Bitch away. Cry some tears. And go ahead and feel sorry for the victims of a lawful, legal enforcement of our laws. We have got to get back to this Constitution, the Constitution of laws and men and women who follow the laws. I am all in favor, and I do believe we should deport J. Paul, what's her face? We should deport Ilhan Omar. We should charge, arrest Perp Walk, and put on trial Newsom. For that matter, Pelosi, for past and current crimes. Both Nancy and Paul. Remember that hammer incident with Paul. Her husband, that is. Okay. She should not be able to eat, you know, $5 cups of or $8 cups of ice cream in front of a $10,000 domestic freezer while this is taking place. We have to hold her accountable for this. So my answer to this And you may not agree with it. You may not like it. I'm not asking you to. But here's what I believe should happen. Should things become worse, where the National Guard in these cities, effective or not, if it happens in your city, then we should show up in mass, in force, in my particular view, consistent with our rights under the Second Amendment, as well as the First, show up and tell them, not here, not today, not ever, and get the fuck off my lawn. That's what I believe. And again, I'm not asking you to agree with me or to like it, but are we not at this point? Are we not at the point now where we need to do something? Yeah, I guarantee you, the first person who runs over a protester blocking the street, they're going to make an example of. The second person, the third person, I'm not so sure there's going to be anyone left in the street, or at least not blocking traffic. But if you have initially a group in a line going down the street, you can't get us all. And if that puts me, if my opinions and sentiments puts me on some sort of list, then you know what? I wear that with pride. Put me on that list. Because quite frankly, I've got beautiful grandchildren to fight for. I've got their freedoms to think about. I don't want them to be asking their parents, well, where's grandpa when all this crap was going down, dad? As my grandson shares a beer with my son-in-law and daughter. If you're okay with that, okay. You do you, I will do me. But I think it's about time for us, for the right, who have largely been pussies to the extent over the last, I don't know, forever, who have not responded to these whack jobs, to many of these individuals without the frontal lobes necessary for cognition and for reasoned analysis. The IQ, low IQ people, 80s and 85 IQ, the looters, these people without jobs that will take money from, in dark money. We know what you are, every single one of you. I guess you're just quibbling about the price. Now it's time. Yes, now it's time for us to get our hands dirty, in my opinion. Let's do it. If we're going to do this, let's do this right. We'll teach you a lesson. And you might hurl pejoratives like boomer, hey, boomer. Do that once, do that twice. F-A-F-O. But I think now is the time. If they want to do this, let's rock. If you find this too provocative to even listen to, then go back to, I don't know, go back to Rachel Ray or whatever, The View, or I don't know. Again, if this is not for you, that's fine. But it's up to us to fix this. And that also entails another thing, too. You've got to find out what side of the road the police are on in your community. You better find out. If something like this breaks out in your community, where the police stand, chances are, well, obviously, if you're in an incorporated city, they're going to be taking their orders from the mayor. You better find out if you've got a true blue mayor, a pussy mayor, or, you know, a red pussy mayor, or a true patriot mayor. You better find out about the chief of police. You better find, I mean, look at the crowds. And those of us that are old enough to remember, think about 1968. What do we see there? A whole lot of cops beating down those kind of people. Today, not so much. They'll buy them a latte, wish them well, you know, pat them on the ass, and send them home to mommy and daddy. So it's up to us, isn't it? If you find that uncomfortable, so be it. It's just a hard reality. It's a hard reality.